So, hey, everybody, this is Eric Mann. You're on with Voices from the Frontlines, your 4 o'clock drive time, walk time, bicycle time, public affairs hour on KPFK 90.7 FM. Now, there's a lot going on next Tuesday, as you can imagine. One is we hope that the catastrophe in the Northeast is over temporarily, but another example of what we call extreme weather events that are tied to global warming. There's this presidential election between President Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, a tremendous choice historically. And there's a very big fight going on in L.A. County. It's called Measure J. Now, a lot of you who do grassroots organizing, you know that there's a lot of things going on, and one of them is a particular fight against a ballot measure that was placed on the ballot by the mayor of Los Angeles and some very, very powerful political and economic forces in Los Angeles that you're going to see probably in the next 3 or 4 days with tremendous hoopla of clouds and skies and happiness and birds flying. But basically, it's about money going to the rail industry, and it's about destroying the bus system, and it's also about leaving the way open for an auto domination of Los Angeles. So it's a civil rights violation, it's an environmental violation, it's an ethical violation, and it also insults your intelligence. Now, we're very lucky. We have two organizers here who need to put their headphones on, one of whom is Barbara Lott Holland and one of whom is Sun Young Yang. They're both leaders of the Bus Riders Union. Sun Young is the lead organizer of the No on Measure J campaign. Barbara's the co-chair of the Bus Riders Union. We've had them on before. Now, we're going to devote the hour to critically important ballot measure that has not received as much attention as many other measures and propositions. I'm talking about Measure J. Measure J proposes to borrow tens of billions of dollars, as much as $90 billion, for the Los Angeles MTA, better known as the MTA. If Measure J passes, the MTA will get tons of billions of dollars to spend in the near future, but borrowed against a 30-year extension of a one-half-cent sales tax in L.A. County from 2039 to 2069. So those of you who will be lucky enough to be around in 2069, and I'm hoping to join you if I can, will still be in debt. There'll be very few options to use the money. And when you realize that a lot of this money is going to be used on rail and there's no opportunity to change the system, the MTA will be what's called bonded up so badly that you won't be able to change the economics. So joining me to discuss the Measure J for the hour and take your phone calls are Barbara and Sun Young Yang, as I expressed to you. Now, we're also going to have a Damian Goodman, director of the Crenshaw Subway Coalition, who's going to come on. Now, 818-985-5735, right at 4:30, we're going to the phones. So please listen so you know what you're talking about and you don't call me up about something that we're not talking about. And at 4:30, we're going to really get your opinions in 1 minute time shots about, you can say I'm no on J, I'm yes on J. You can give your arguments. You get a 1 minute sound bite and we'll move to the next caller. So 818-985-5735. We'll try to get 25 callers in. Well, as we get to Sun Young Yang and Barbara Lott Holland, my first question is, I don't see how you can be against this Measure J. Look at all these amazing people for it. The Los Angeles Area Chamber of Commerce, the Los Angeles Business Council, Los Angeles Business Federation, the Los Angeles Dodgers, for God's sake, NBC Universal, Occidental Petroleum, they're for it. Parsons Brinckerhoff, the LA County Federation of Labor, you're not here. How in the world are you such bad sports that you're against Measure J? Start with you, Sun Young. What is your problem? And explain to our listeners why you vote no on this issue.
Well, we're calling Measure J the blank check for Metro to continue to violate civil rights of 500,000 bus riders. Because exactly, this is going to generate about $90 billion of sales tax revenue from 2039 to 2069. But in reality, what it is that this $90 billion is going to be used as money to give away to giant contractors and as well as real estate developers, Eric, that you just read out, who are some of which are on the Yes on Measure J list of endorsers. And it will continue to expand highways as well as promote boondoggle rail projects that are going to lead to a lot of cost overruns and will be ultimately built upon the backs of bus riders to be able to construct and finance the enormous debt and contracts that they're going to be giving away.
Now, Barbara, I'm going to get to you in a minute, but Sun Young, a lot of people are going to say for the millionth time, but why can't we have it all? Why can't we have bus and rail? Why is the bus riders union so hostile to the MTA's funding plans?
The MTA's funding plans is mainly driven by corporate interests, big contracts. What we call the primary motivation of MTA is crony capitalism, where deals are made between giant contractors, and when cost overruns happen, which inevitably happens with a price tag of a typical, for example, the West Side Subway that the mayor is promoting, that's about $1 billion a mile. It's a 9-mile, $9 billion project.
Unbelievable.
And when your capital construction costs are so huge like that, you end up not planning, like the MTA, to have enough funds to be able to operate and maintain the system, let alone operate and maintain the existing system. And therefore, MTA historically have balanced their budget on the backs of the working class, low-income, black and Latino bus riders that make up the core of their ridership. And this is the continuing civil rights violation that MTA defaults on. And therefore, an agency like that with a 20-year civil rights violation history cannot be trusted with going without limit to push all these multi-billion dollar corporate projects.
Barbara, here's a quote from you saying, Measure J is a racist, regressive sales tax that will have our grandchildren paying for the next 60 years. It's a blank check to multinational corporations and contractors. It gentrifies our neighborhood in the name of expanding mass transit, when actually it's killing the bus system in Los Angeles. All of this on the backs of the working class and communities of color. Because the Bus Riders Union consistently talks about transit racism, break it down for our listeners why you think it's transit racism.
Let's just start with the first section of this sales tax, Measure R. Over the past 4 years, bus riders have lost over 1 million hours in bus service. So, you know, in particular for people that don't ride the bus, well, what does that exactly mean? That means for some people that you're waiting longer for a bus. That means anywhere from 30 minutes per bus, and just add that up. If you take two buses in the morning, those same two buses in the afternoon, that's 2 hours of travel time that has increased. For other neighborhoods, that means you don't have bus service on the weekend. For still other neighborhoods, that means you only have rush hour bus service. So these are the type of conditions that bus riders are facing. So what does that mean? Just digging a little further. Those of us that are unemployed looking for jobs, that means you're having to go further out to find a job, which means that that's taking away from time at home. In addition to this, there are the fare increases as well that goes with this. So bus riders are getting it at both ends. And this is definitely a racist and a regressive sales tax. And in addition to that, it's harming our neighborhoods. With the rail lines come in, it is a gentrification of our neighborhoods. Small businesses are being taken away. Even homes are being removed in order to place the rail there. For example, even on Crenshaw, there's a grocery store that a lot of elderly go to. Even when they put in the expo line, they move that bus stop further up the street. So now the elderly and families with small children are even having to walk further in order to get on a bus.
Well, I'd add two other things. You know, one is that it's really shocking. I think a lot of the listeners don't know that 20% of the money on Measure J is for highways. Now, they don't announce that very much. You know, they talk about mass transportation. They cut a deal in order to try to, they need to get 66% of the vote, 66.6% next Tuesday, which we want to stop them from getting. In order to figure out how they could put together a coalition of the willing, they actually added their deal with the devil, which is the highway industry. So there's actually right in the proposition that 20% of the money is going to be used for highway expansion and construction. Well, anybody knows anything about global warming knows that there's going to have to be highway restriction. There may have to be highway elimination. There may be that only freeways can have only public transportation on it. So for the MTA to callously cut a deal with the highway industry is just pretty ugly. The second thing, which is very scary, is that there's no protection of the money for bus service inside this, so that there's 20% of the money, if you look at it, it's going to say it's for bus service, but it doesn't say that that money is guaranteed to be on top of the money that the MTA already has allocated for buses. So basically what they do is if they're going to pass $600 million, 20% has $120 million a year. That could be terrific, but they're going to move that $120 million, which they're forced to by law, over to the buses, but they're not forced by law to keep the money they already have for buses. Mm-hmm. They switch that money over to rail. Then they say, look, we have a shortfall. We don't have enough money for buses. So they cut the bus system again. And one more thing before I get to my other two comrades is, having worked with these people for 20 years, their cruelty is something that kind of, you know, capitalism, you sort of, as bad as you think capitalism is, it turns out it's worse. Because besides the just pure economic drive, it starts generating bad people. You know, we're not supposed to say that. We're supposed to say, oh, they're good people just doing bad things. They're not. We've worked with them for 20 years. They're bad people. They're mean-spirited people. They hate their own riders. So the defeat of Prop J is really, really important because it's sort of a vote on the future of the city that we call it. So Barbara and I'm going to go you, Barbara, and then Sun Young. Let's talk about, you know, Pete White does it a lot, which I think is really good of LA Ken. We've been saying this is a fight for the future of the soul of the city. Why don't we talk beyond the, it's bad on this and it's bad on this. Are we right to frame it that big?
Yes, it is. I mean, public transportation, as I see it, as the Bus Riders Union see it, is a civil right. It is, for many people, and in particular the transit dependent, it is their lifeline to stability. It is their lifeline to work, to jobs, to recreation, to health. It is their way to freedom within the inner city. And as it is now, that is being slowly taken away, chip by chip, chip by chip. Every time there is a new rail line open, we can look to see for a minimum of 10 buses being cut. And when we talk about the cruelty of the agency, I mean, we go in there in droves, constantly addressing this. And you would think, we talk about humanity and just respect for an individual. Let's start with them just giving respect to people as they're speaking. I mean, their inattention to the public of doing everything but pretending. At least can you pretend that you are paying attention? If can you pretend that when a mother comes in there and say, when I have to make a choice of either buying a bus pass or putting food in my child's mouth, that you can actually look at her and feel something? Or when we have one of the directors, as Gloria Molina has said to us, you know, don't come in here telling me your sad sob story about how hard it is now for you to get to work. I don't want to hear that. I mean, this is not what you're expecting from your elected officials.
So, Barbara, I think it's important to just give the names of some of the other elected officials that have been treating us so badly. Because a lot of people, as much as they've heard it, there's the MTA, and it's sort of, There's a lot of well-known people, but they don't know they're on the MTA. Who are we talking about?
Well, as I mentioned, there's Gloria Molina, there's Wes Arts on it, Mark Whitley Thomas, and these are our supervisors that's on the MTA board. You had Don Kanabi that's on it. Mike Atanovich is also on the board. As right now, he is the circulating president or the chair of the MTA board. And, of course, we do have the mayor who is on the MTA board and who does little, if any, to voice and support the people that he is supposed to be representing.
So Sun Young Yang, you're the lead organizer of No on J. Go beyond transportation. We've been saying this fight for the soul of the city is, you know, the whole issue of gentrification and broader. Tell us how you see it.
I mean, this is Measure J right now is a big challenge because at the end of the day, those who are pushing it are actually the Liberal Democrats in the city, right? Like Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, the unions, the labor unions that are pushing it because of the jobs, supposedly from the construction, and some of the environmental groups as well, like NRDC, that's promoting this as the future of you know, Los Angeles as a transit-oriented, clean air city. But what really the driving force behind this is displacement and gentrification that is, you know, the primary tool to push a whitewashing, Disneyfication vision of the city, right? Corporate capital, many of the developers like Eli Broad want the luxury condo housing near the rail sites along with box stores, and in the process of both building the rail and then redeveloping afterwards, they wipe out low-income and affordable housing. We've seen pretty much the growing pattern of basically ethnic cleansing almost of in neighborhoods like Ball Heights or other areas where low-income folks are driven out of their own historic neighborhoods because these kinds of developments come in and they can't afford to live there afterwards, right? So there's two things going on. One, we're seeing with MTA's fare increases and bus service cuts, the low-income, low-wage sector workers and the working-class communities are actually becoming displaced from transit itself, right? Because they can't afford the fares as it goes up. And in our own neighborhoods, people are getting displaced because of the gentrification development that's being promoted by these corporate developers. So at the end of the day, you know, the fight around the soul of the city, what is the city really going to look like? Is it going to be luxury housing, or are we going to really try to promote a community-based, low-income community-based, working-class community-based kind of redevelopment that, you know, ultimately holds agencies, public agencies like MTA, accountable?
Well, that's great. I mean, I just want to add, we're about to hear a yes on Jay Short, so we can hear what the opposition is saying, but I want to just add the issue of the police that, you know, in our society, you wonder, well, why do people do this, and why don't they do this, and why don't they fight back? Well, because the police are brought in to protect property rights. So if you look at the work of LA CAN in downtown Skid Row, there's constant police sweeps to try to keep people off the street, to arrest people for, I mean, literally jaywalking. If you protest at the MTA, the police arrest you. If you don't pay your fare because you can't afford it, the police arrest you. So we talk about police brutality, but I think sometimes we don't think enough that the normal role of the police, to the state, in a capitalist system, is to enforce property relations. So even if they do it nice, even if they do it without brutality, meaning excess force, they still arrest you, put you in jail, and you're sentenced for violating laws that shouldn't have been passed in the first place. So that's another part of the, you know, as I've been raising my own consciousness about this whole fight for the soul of the city. So let's hear what big money can buy. Let's hear what we are no on J, in case you don't remember, no on Measure J. As I said, no on Measure J. Now let's listen to some yes on Measure J. And then we'll let Barbara Lott Holland and Sun Young Yang give an alternate view.
Here's why the LA Times calls Measure J a win for transit, the economy, and the future of LA County. J will spur 400,000 jobs by putting traffic relief in the fast lane. J speeds up highway traffic flow, repairs aging bridges for earthquake safety, fixes local streets, expands countywide transit, and keeps fares low for seniors. All funds stay local without a tax increase. Jumpstart jobs and traffic relief today. Yes, on J.
Gee, I'm getting confused now. Maybe I'm for J. No, I'm against it. Okay. So tell me, what was that? Was good. They got a lot, scored a lot of points in 1 minute. Sun Young Yang, why should we not be persuaded? The guy had a nice voice, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, the yes on Measure J forces are actually calling J for jobs and really trying to basically prey on the desperation of working class communities who've faced, yes, black and brown communities face extremely high unemployment, right? And the promise of jobs, basically, in this case, building highways and multi-billion-dollar rail as a job security measure is how they're going about it. But what's really happened in the last 4 years of just the first phase of the sales tax measure, Measure R, that we've seen is that because of the million hours of bus service cuts and fare increases, that working class communities are having a harder time trying to get, maintain and hold their jobs, or unemployed to access jobs because their routes have been cut. And really, at the end of the day, it's pitting a very specific construction service sector workers against the low-wage service workers who are dependent on the buses. So this isn't a measure for working class communities. It's a measure that's pitting working class communities against the real desperation that we face. And the solution is not more corporate welfare, not a $90 billion sales tax that's going to be going into Parsons Brinckerhoff, Occidental Petroleum, or any of the real estate developers, because that's where majority of the funding is going to, not for jobs.
Barbara, when you were listening to it and you were imagining a friend of yours calling you up on the phone and saying, "Hey, Barbara, I just heard this great ad. Tell me, what don't I understand?" What would you tell them?
Well, the jobs, again, they're throwing this job thing at us. And I've talked to people in the community, in particular the Crenshaw community, and they are assuming that these jobs are going to come to their neighborhood, when in actuality, the jobs, the contractor, the rail contractors, and even the highway, there are already large contracting companies that are bidding on that already have their workers in place. They're not going to the neighborhood looking for those people to build up their own neighborhood. And that is the illusion that this is bringing. And the fact that these are not permanent jobs either, that they are temporary jobs until even if they were to go into community, would just be until this project is completed. And then in actuality, some of those people would be going back to find that they don't have a home, that they've now torn down their own home, or even the little mom and pop store that they visited quite often will no longer be there. So it is an illusion that there are jobs coming to the neighborhood. In actuality, it's taking jobs from the neighborhood in the removal of small businesses.
Well, it's also sad to me that to see that Maria Elena Durazo, who, you know, has been such a fighter for hotel and restaurant workers, now she's also the head of the County Federation of Labor. But her own union, hotel and restaurant workers, gave money to say yes on Jay when... Who are the people suffering the most from, I mean, a million hours of bus service and cuts and $52 to $72 monthly bus pass is hotel and restaurant workers. So let's see where we are. We're at 425. The second argument is it's going to reduce traffic congestion. I want to take a shot at that one. This is getting crazy. The answer is that we reduce traffic congestion by widening the freeway and expanding the freeway. Now, that's been done in L.A. for, 30, 40, 50 years. And the answer is, as fast as you expand the freeway, you get more cars. I'm in favor of more congestion. I want you to listen to me. I'm in favor of more congestion because if we can just stop the building of highways and say there's a moratorium on highways, people are not going to just go into public transportation voluntarily. They're going to go when you're not going to build any more freeways, you're not going to subsidize the auto, you're going to keep subsidizing public transportation. Public transportation is going to be 24/7. There's going to be auto-free zones, auto-free rush hours. But yeah, the MTA every time, it just ran 4 years ago. And now it's saying it needs more money to keep expanding the highways. It's very sad to hear environmental groups say that I want to listen to give money to something that's going to expand the highways. So, yeah, it may temporarily stop some congestion, but it's going to create a lot more congestion in your lungs. So let's remember that. Now, Damien, good to have you on. This is Damien Goodman. He's the chair of the Crenshaw Subway Coalition and Fix Expo Campaign Works. Damien, how you doing? Why aren't you for Proc J? Why are you against it? Measure J.
Measure J, Prop J, we're getting jacked in South Los Angeles. I mean, we saw what happened after they passed Measure R. They cut a million hours of bus services. It impacted the working members of the South LA community first. And now, less than 3.5 years, 4 years later, they put forth this Measure J, $90 billion, no protection for bus service, no additional resources for any project being built in South Los Angeles. We've been very prominent in public in our requests on the Crenshaw line that if Metro is going to build it, well, there has to be a station at Leimert Park Village, the African-American Cultural Center of Southern California, And also, in the portion in Park Mesa Heights where the train is supposed to run at street level for 11 blocks, taking out over half of the parking, posing a safety risk to the children of Crenshaw High a block away and DuPark Prep right there on the corner. We said, just put that 11 blocks on the ground. Metro told us about 16 months ago, 18 months ago, when we went there requesting these two changes to the project, they didn't have the money. And now, with $90 billion proposed, additional $90 billion, they're still telling us they don't have the money. So, you know, we just don't think it makes any sense. There is no benefit to our community. We only see losses in the form of additional taxes and cut bus services.
Well, let me say this, folks. Damien's going to be on for another minute. Damien Goodman, and I just want to ask, 818-985-5735. Now, remember the ground rules. You don't make a question. You simply say, I am against Measure J, and here's why, and you got to get it done in 1 minute like the guy on the soundbite did. You can say, I'm for Measure J. I won't interrupt you. And you have 1 minute to say why you're for, and then I will cut you off. So after Damon gets on the phone, we're going to go to 818-985-5735. Jeff Ramsey Ray is going to be on the board. He's going to be giving me people as fast as we can. Identify yourself. Make your point in 1 minute. And we're really happy to hear. Let's see if we can really get 25 opinions. Now, here's the last thing, Damon, I want to ask you about. This issue of punitiveness. I mean, Lamont Park has such a high symbolic value in the city, of course, to the black community. But to anybody who loves the black community, loves black culture, and cares about the black community, how in the world can an agency with so many billion dollars not simply say, of course, we're going to have a Lamont stop? I just don't even, it's incomprehensible to me.
It doesn't make any sense, and, you know, when that issue came to the Metro Board, it lost by 4 votes, and those 4 votes were actually controlled by Mayor Antonio Villagosa, the current backer of this Measure J.
Wow.
He's just been a disappointment for the African-American community in whole, and this is just his, I guess, his swan song on his way out. Just say once again, there is not the money, there is not the care that I have for the African-American community. It doesn't make any sense, Judge. You have on the metro system where they do build the lines. There's a station in Little Tokyo. There's a station in Chinatown, Koreatown. Why would you not have a station at the African American Cultural Center of Southern California? It's been a rallying cry, and these decisions are made, and we are always on the short end of the stick. And here we're on the short end of the stick to the tune of $90 billion, and we're being taxed for it. So we're just urging people to vote no on Measure J.
Now, I just want to be clear that the Bus Riders Union, which you know is generally opposed to rail construction, would strongly support a Lamart Park stop. I mean, if you're going to build it fair, for God's sake. If you're going to build it, take care of the black community. So I just want to be very clear that we were, you know that, allies in that fight. And we didn't just say, well, we don't care about rail. I mean, we care about the black community first. And this is just another attack, whether it seems whether it's bus or rail. The MTA's only unifying theme seems to be enormous hostility to the black and Latino community. So this is going to be a long fight, and I think a vote no on Jay could give the mayor a little bit of comeuppance and maybe, hey, maybe you just overstepped yourself on this. So David, thank you. Maybe you want to stay around and listen to the calls, but thank you so much for being on the phone. All right, now, have we got any folks on here? 818-985-5735. Very much appreciate having you on the show. This is Eric Mann, your host. I'm with Sun Young Yang. I'm with Barbara Lott Holland. 818-985-5735. Just yes on Jay, no on Jay. You have 1 minute. Let us hear from you. So let's hear our first caller from East LA. 818-985-5735. Go ahead. Joe?
Yeah. Yes, I'm opposed to Measure J because I come from East LA where the Gold Line got extended out to Atlantic. And the false promises of local jobs never materialized because they never developed a coherent apprenticeship program whatsoever. And most of the jobs are union pecking order jobs, which means that seniority dictates who gets those jobs, not the local community members within a 5 mile radius of the project. So I want to make that abundantly clear. If any African Americans South Central or wherever this rail line is going, think they're going to get those local jobs. It's a complete lie. It's not going to happen because the union has a pecking order, and those people that are on those pecking orders don't live in Los Angeles. They live anywhere else but Los Angeles. They live in Temple.
818. Okay, Joe. Real good job, Joe. You made your point, and thank you so much for being on the show. I mean it.
All right.
818-985-5735. Remember, you can be for Measure J or against Measure J. We're not going to interrupt you. You have 1 minute. Make your point. 818-985-5735. We're expecting hundreds of calls, but right now we don't even have one after Joe. So 818-985-5735. We're going to keep telling you why to vote no on J. And as soon as you get on the phone, Jeff's going to signal me and we'll put you right on. So what's going to happen on Election Day, Sun Young? What are you going to do to turn out the vote? 818-985-5735.
Well, the Bus Riders Union, along with the broad alliance that we've been able to make with Union de Vecinos, Beverly Hills Education Leaders, as well as the Crenshaw Subway Community Coalition, and the Northeast LA Residents against the 710 Tunnel and against Measure J, we've been coordinating to try to get outreach to our own respective communities to vote no on Measure J. The Bus Riders Union in particular, we've been operating for the last 3 weeks a phone banking operation to get out the vote and talk to voters in South LA to vote no on Measure J and explain to them what's going on, really. What is the trick behind this Measure J?
Hold on again. 818-985-5735. If you want to express your opinion, just call and we'll put you right on. Go ahead, Sun Young.
Mm-hmm. And we've been organizing on social media, on our Facebook page, Bus Riders Union Facebook, as well as promoting the nooneasurej.net, the website where folks can come and see the video representing all the communities, why they're asking voters to vote no on Measure J. So we have a lot of things going on. If anybody wants to come and volunteer, please contact us at 213-387-2800. We'll be phone banking from 3 to 9 p.m. every day, including Sundays. And on Saturdays, it's 9 to 3 p.m. This is the last week before the vote, and we really need everyone's help to get the word out.
818-985-5735. We want to hear what you have to say. There's a Barbara on the line. We want to hear what do you think, Barbara? You have 1 minute, yes or no?
Are we okay? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I'm against Measure J. I already voted, and I voted against it. There are times I have to go into Santa Monica, and right where they want to build this extension to the seas, where I have to do things, and it would just clog Santa Monica terribly. And I'm for the bus riders having more buses, and that's about it, and I'll just listen off the air.
Thank you so much. And tell your other friends who haven't voted yet, 818-985-5735. You heard her. She got her opinion. She's a no. She explained why. She said she'll listen for the rest. Now, you're in Santa Monica. Very interesting because they're promising this enormous rail line, $9 billion rail line all the way to the sea. 818-985-5735. Oh, yeah, there's a great video on our website. The website is www.nooneasurej.net. Is that
Measure J?
No on, you tell them.
Nooneasurej.net.
Check that out. It's a very, very funny and powerful little cartoon that I've seen. And we need you to participate. 818-985-5735. Let's see. Where were we, Sun Youngwood, before I interrupted you?
No, phone banking. We need to get out the vote and remind South LA voters that they need to vote no on Measure J. Right now, the latest news that I heard was that a lot of the LA County Federation of Labor folks are actually going out to, you know, promote no on 32. But on their door hangers, they've been putting stickers that say vote yes on Measure J. So there's a lot of misinformation happening. We're competing against the $2.2 million Yes on Measure J war chest that, you know, backers of Measure J have been putting an ad for the last, a TV ad as well for the last 2 weeks. And so we really need to do our own grassroots method of getting our voice out and phone bank, lawn signs, posters, whatever the means. If you want to contact the Bus Riders Union, 213-387-2800, come and volunteer and help us defeat J.
And just so you don't get confused, that's one number. The number right now is 818 985-5735. We just want your opinion, yes or no. We have two callers on the line. George from L.A., how you doing, George?
All right. I spent a year and a half putting together this coalition of Beverly Hills, East L.A., South Central, the Bus Riders Union, and the No Tunneling for the 710 Extension. There is only one paragraph for Measure J. With the interest, we're talking $250, $300 million and a payback, okay? And a half-cent sales tax, $20.69. They're cutting back bus service, which is really needed and flexible, okay, unlike these tracks.
Exactly.
And they're increasing the bus fares, and as some people said in the Beverly Hills City Council, when we went in there, and Sung and the Bus Riders Union were there all day with us, okay? And even a person in the Beverly Hills City Council said, we should have listened to the Bus Riders Union when they passed Measure R because they were correct about what they were going to do to bus service. Now, when you have $90 billion with one paragraph, you got something wrong. Measure R had 34 pages.
Hey.
So we formed this unbelievable coalition, political coalition that nobody could ever believe the Beverly Hills and all these communities would join together. But we have a common enemy, MTA, who doesn't care about anyone.
George, that's a great way to end it. We have a common enemy, MTA, who doesn't care about anyone. Thank you so much for calling. We're going to go now.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Sure, George. And we'll have Dave from Sylmar. Glad to hear Sylmar. And then it looks like we have Sly from North Hollywood. Steve? Okay, 818-985-5735. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Dave. Problem is people don't realize no one in the local federal governments care about the peasants. They're all rich elite. They could care less about us. We're here to keep the roads paved and the water running. That's it. And until people realize that we are their bosses. They're all public servants. No one in government has any authority over any private person. We can fire them all. The people don't realize this. They think these people have authority over it. The police don't have authority over you. The judges don't, unless you violate someone's rights. But this has all been forgotten. But the criminals have been running the country for a long, long time. The rich elite, and they do not care about us at all. It's time that we stop and fire all these people and put real people, you know, the private people and not rich elites in power.
Now, that was Dave from Selma, right?
Yes.
Okay. Are you voting yes or no, Dave?
No, that was no one. Jay, of course, no
okay,
one.
Okay, great. I just want to make sure you did a great job, and thank you so much for being on the show. And now we're going to go from Shy in North Hollywood.
Hello. I have lived in the San Fernando Valley all of my life. I am 57 years old, and I have seen these kind of measures come and go ad nauseum. I am lucky enough to have been well off enough, never really to have been dependent on the bus system. But I think it is an absolute crime the way the bus system is put together. I agree with, and I forget which one said this, of your guests, that no one's going to do this. No one's really going to get on it until they have to get on it. And I agree. I think that's where our money should be. It should be put into the bus system so that there is a sense of equality and that it isn't just people like me, and I'm grateful to be where I am, but that it isn't just people like me who can get from point A to point B in a reasonable, safe manner. And so I'm definitely voting no.
Thank you so much, Shai. Great having you on the show. Now we have two. We have Steve from Santa Monica, and then we have Bill from Lake Elsinore. We'll have you both on. Start with Steve from Santa Monica.
Yes. Hi. I love the show. I'm personally voting no on Jay. I have something slightly negative to say, which is I was at the Santa Monica City Council meeting when light rail was being discussed in terms of where to put the railroad yard, which was going to be and is going to be in Santa Monica. But essentially, what the discussion turned out to be was that the San Francisco City Council had absolutely no authority to stop this from happening. I think stopping Jay, you know, putting a clamp on Jay money-wise is not going to stop what they're going to do. I do think it's a statement, and I want to make it. I'm with you. but I don't think it's going to change anything. I think really the money's appropriated from somewhere else and they're going to do it. You need the light rail, so it's going to happen. Anyway, that's my opinion.
Thanks for having your opinion. That's why we love the show. Bill from Lake Elsinore, tell us what you're thinking.
If I lived in Los Angeles County, I would definitely be concerned with a yes or no vote on the measure. However, I'm a blind individual. I attend the Braille Institute twice a week. I use the rail lines extensively, and it is hugely effective and hugely efficient. And when they first was built 20 years ago, everybody said, nobody's going to give up their cars and forsake their cars to ride a train. Are you out of your mind? At the time, I worked for the Southern Pacific Railroad, and we thought, no, we'll see. And within 2 years, it paid for itself. And it's terrible. This is a sign of the times pitting the bus, public transportation riders against each other, because all public transportation should be granted and should be free, in fact, to the passengers. Thank you. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Bill. And I want to thank you so much for listening, and thank you. We want the rail to work for you. We don't want to stop it. As you said, we want bus and rail, but right now we need more bus. But it was great, and I appreciate it. Peter, El Sereno, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm against any disingenuous measure, so I would say no on Measure J, especially the 710 extension, because it'll be right there where I live in El Sereno. And they started this whole mess over there with the 710 extension with an interim called the connector road that was supposed to only move the traffic 1,500 feet and dump all the trucks and vehicles in El Sereno, thousands, probably like 25,000 plus cars and trucks. And it's very disingenuous because I discovered that they basically forced the issue by making the Alameda corridor, dismantling the tail rail yard, which is located in Chinatown downtown, the cornfield, and basically just for high-speed rail. So, you know, there's inequalities in this whole measure. So I would say no on Measure J. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. And, you know, our listeners are great. You ask people for 1 minute. They just know how to do 1 minute. It's so, don't take it for granted. It means a lot at Voices from the Front Lines, how you respect the show and how much we hope you know we respect you. So listen, it's still 818-985-5735. I think you know there's not a lot of arenas where people want your opinions. We really do. We're partisans. We're with the Strategy Center, the Bus Riders Union. But your opinion is welcome on the show. We want to hear a debate. We're not going to cut you off. We want to just hear what you have to say because there's an important vote coming up on November 6th. Measure J is going to be on the ballot. It helps us understand what people are thinking. So 818-985-5735. Remember, nobody's knocking on your door right now wanting your opinion. We do. So 818-985-5735. Give us a call. You have 1 minute to express. I'm just yes for Measure J. I'm no for Measure J. Here's my reasoning, and we'll just let you go, and we'll bring on the next caller. So we're going to keep talking to Barbara and Sun Young. What have you learned, Barbara, working on this campaign? What's different in your consciousness than when you began it?
How hard it is that once something gets, a law gets passed that is bad, how hard it is to reverse it or get rid of it. And I say that because we've heard a lot from people are saying now we wish we had listened to the BRU when we were out there fighting against Measure R. And to see in this campaign that the big greatness that MTA created with Measure R and how much it was going to relieve the traffic congestion and move these rail lines. And now they're saying even with the 30-year Measure R, is still not enough. It's always more money, less buses, more money. You give us more money, and we'll give you less. And I've also learned with this is getting out, putting out your views earlier is very important in this as well. Having more if we had did more Voices from the Front Line for Measure R, that might have tipped the scale as well. But we are aggressively, even more aggressively, attacking Measure J than we did Measure R and learning from our mistakes in Measure R and also dealing with the public and really getting our communities involved, really coming, talking to them, listening to them, understanding what they understand the measure to be, and then explaining how we see the measure, and then comparing what actually happened. Those are some of the things I've learned from this.
818-985-5735. We have two calls. We want to hear from Randy, and then we're going to listen to Dwayne. I'm sorry, Divine, and then Sam.
Measure J, in as much as if it's going to harm people's, a lower income people, generally speaking, ability to commute, that's not a way to handle this system for all. Government is for public affairs, and public affairs is for everyone, not just the elite. So I'm sure there could be a better way to handle the situation in which, if need be, we expand the rail, but we don't deny the people their need to transportation. There must be a better way to be able to work both in tandem. And I think the announcer gave a really good scenario about the congestion of the traffic to get people to wake up.
Randy, thank you so much for calling. Keep in touch. We really love having people call the show. And now we're going to go to Divine in L.A.
I'm going to vote no on Measure J.
Okay.
But have most of your folks, most of the public, driven down exposition leading out to Santa Monica and West Los Angeles. They are already building these rail lines already. So I don't know where they're getting the money from, but this is going to happen no matter what. And also, I've lived in the three major cities in America, Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago. And Los Angeles has the worst transportation system of any large metropolitan area. It's just terrible. So if it's going to help any, no one, Jay, but man, they're building it already. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Divine. I have lots of thoughts, but we're going to keep moving on because that's what we whole idea. We're going to go to Sam in Alhambra. How you doing, Sam? Yes or no, and what? And give us your reasoning.
Yes, no on Jay, and thank you to KPFK for wonderful programming. And the reasoning is this measure is not only disingenuous, it's they overextended on their commitments for the Measure R, and they're trying to make it up for a lifetime tax thing. And which is wrong. By the way, I work in the transportation industry, and I'm definitely against it.
Well, thanks for getting right to the point, Sam. And this is Eric Mann. I'm your host on Voices from the Front Lines every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And this is why we do the show, to have these really great callers who are people who are either on public transportation, thinking about it, thinking about civil rights. Again, I just want to say, having listened to some other shows, it's no small thing that our people know how to get in and out 1 minute and make their point clear. It means so much. So now we have John Marsh on the line. John, how you doing? John, let's take Bob for 1 minute because he was on. Bob from El Monte. And then we have John Marsh on the line. John, hold on for just a second, okay? Bob?
Yeah, this is Bob from El Monte No One J.
Okay.
And rail is bad. Has anyone been to Disneyland and rode the monorail? It takes up far less space. It's much more efficient. You go down the center of every freeway, but the rail companies own the country. They own the highways, and so they own the governments. And it's just so sad because you have a much more efficient system than the trains. It take up far less space.
Well, I think one of the problems is that the MTA seems to want to make LA like Disneyland, but they don't even do the best of it. So, if they ever make it to Disneyland, we'll tell them to use the monorail. Is that a deal?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Now, John Merrick, you're a city councilman in Beverly Hills. Which way are you on this proposition, John, and why'd you call and tell us what you're thinking?
Proposition? Which way am I? Well, I strongly oppose it, actually, as I think some of you know.
Of course.
It doesn't make sense from any number of perspectives, but I think one of the major issues that unites a lot of our communities, from BH Beverly Hills to BH Boyle Heights, is that the money is going to Metro, which is a governmental agency that I guess you could call them an equal opportunity blower offer. Whether you're BH Beverly Hills or BH Boyle Heights, they don't really seem to listen. Those aren't the kinds of people who should be getting our scarce tax dollars. You know, there are many other reasons to oppose Measure J as well, such as mortgaging the future of our kids. in fact, if they really wanted to expedite all of these projects, why don't they just be honest about it and raise taxes rather than burdening future generations? But I think they understand that's a losing proposition. So instead, they're going to saddle our great-grandchildren with debt, what amounts to almost a forever tax. It's certainly a multi-generation tax, and have them pay for the party that the current politicians are enjoying. And that's just wrong.
That's great to have you on, John, and thank you for getting to the point. I'm going to take the last three calls, Jeff, because we only have three more minutes. We don't need a last comment. I think everybody's heard what Sun Young has to say. They've heard what Barbara. We're much more interested in what you have to say. So Eric in L.A., Matt from Topanga, thanks so much for calling the show. Let's hear what you have to say. We'll go to you, Matt.
Hey, hi. Hello. Yeah, I'm voting no on it, but here's one thing I hope that you'll get behind. It's like what North Dakota has, state-run bank. Every bank makes 900% return on every loan since they all have to put up 10% value. We would not even be talking about budgets. We would be swimming in money. Please get behind the Public Banking Institute. It is an amazing answer to these issues and even more.
Matt, thank you so much. Eric from LA, you're our last caller, and then we'll still have Sun Young and Barbara with a few seconds. Eric, thank you for calling. What are you thinking?
You know, I just want to say that I just changed it from yes to no based on your discussion. I think it's so important that we have these kind of views that, I guess, educate someone naive like me. I just read the practice ballot or whatever, and I went by that. But until I heard these opinions or insights, I changed it to no. I'm going to vote no now.
That's pretty wonderful, Eric. From an organizer's point of view, we live for that conversation. It means so much. It means that you have no idea how you're our last caller, and Barbara and Sun Young, their faces just lit up. So my two friends, my two organizers, you get the last word. Eric, thank you so much again for calling. Stay in touch with us. Jeff says, I swear I didn't put him on last.
You know, I just wanted to say the work that we do here with regard to public transportation and the right to it in Los Angeles is something that that the whole country is looking at and something that is being affected across the U.S. And what is happening in L.A., the purpose of this is that other cities are looking at it, and we are hoping that our discussions, the radio show, all of the information that we are giving about these regressive taxes to move rail projects are being listened to by other writers in other cities, and they can take up this fight, and this gives them building grounds to take up the fight when it comes to their area. So I just wanted to close with that.
Sun Young, 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, this fight and the many united fronts that we were able to build in the No on Measure J campaign really brings the question around, like, who shapes our city? And, you know, many infrastructure projects in history, whether it was building concentration camps to prisons to highways to now we see a progressive, supposedly progressive mayor proposing, you know, transit infrastructure. But at the end of the day, the process also is very important. Who's it going to benefit? And the question around Measure J really raises, you know.
Sonia, I'm going to have to cut you off because they're going to cut me off.
Oh.
So, folks, thanks for making our day. That does it for today's Voices show. As always, thank you so much for listening to Voices from the Front Lines. This has been your host, Eric Mann. I'd like to thank our guests, Barbara Lott Holland, Sun Young Yang, and Damian Goodman. We've had music, as always, from Nina Simone. You can listen to previous Voices shows at voicesfromfrontlines.com. Also, again, thanks to our listeners. It meant so much for our day. Please send comments to voices@thestrategycenter.org. I'd like to thank our engineer, Devin, our producer, Jeff Ramsey Ray. Up next is Background Briefing with Ian Masters. We'll see you next Tuesday at 4, Election Day, folks. It'll be a good show. Take good care and hang in there.